Jonathan Lee of Blood of Lions is here on The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me in, Dave.
Blood of Lions might be new to the music scene, but you do have a history in music. I heard that you took a decade-long break from making music, so something significant must have happened.
Correct. Yeah, it was quite a rough ending, honestly, with a band I was in called Novus Folium. We had a really good run, about 8 years together. Did a demo with Capitol Records. Capitol Records was 2 years prior to us breaking up, but 2 years after that, we were in talks with Warner Brothers. And on tour in the middle of Montana, we just had a huge blowout, broke up about 4 days before going to LA to sign with Warner Brothers. The CEO, Cameron Strang, was just in love with us at the time. And, came back, tried to reformulate my career and my band and, keep the trajectory of professionalism going and get back on that wavelength so that Warner would actually give us the contract. And
sure.
It just ended up being more work as a single dad at the time. My son was four. More work to rebuild that whole thing from the ground up than I wanted to put in at that time. So I just really refocused my energy towards becoming a father. I gave it a good 2 or 3 years with a couple other bands that I tried to jump into. And it became more of a weight on my life than it did a joy and a fun. And, I told my last band that, unfortunately, even though we had a lot of momentum, I was going to be backing out. And I was just going to be focusing the gift that I had of singing towards the person that I thought gifted me in that way, which was God. So I was just going to be singing worship. And honestly, that was probably the best thing for honing my craft that I've done. So that 10-year hiatus, really brought me to this place and brought me to the next level of vocal delivery.
But it has been a long time. So what was it that actually pushed you into begin creating again?
That would be my wife and my best friend. And the catalyst to all of that was a huge loss back in February of last year. And that was one of my best friend's fathers. He was a music mentor to me. He was a father figure to me. We were actually talking about me getting back into music and me creating a country album, a solo country album that was a dream of mine. And he had formulated a team that had played with Reba McEntire and Brooks and Dunn and some of their players. And, died suddenly of a heart attack, followed by a stroke, and just rough percentages of survival. And it rocked me. And so I went down and I went to the Celebration of Life, and his son was there, and we sang some songs. A bunch of the artists that he impacted sang songs for him at the Celebration of Life. And for the next 24 hours, his son, one of my good friends, would not stop pouring into me, telling me that I needed to make music and that, that's what God wants me to do. It's what I'm supposed to do. Need to figure out the time and space to make music again. And as a logical father of three kids, husband that has a mortgage, I said, no way in hell I'm going back and trying to start a music career over. I have to find the next paycheck that's a better paycheck than what I'm earning right now. So that's kind of the mindset I came back to. And lo and behold, about 24 hours later, I went in on a Tuesday morning after that Monday shift, saw that the owner of the company that was a friend of mine had removed some time from my time card. I challenged him on this. We talked about it. He said he wasn't going to pay me for the time, even though I was working at the time. We just disagreed. He thought the laws said that he didn't have to pay me. I was a business owner. I knew the laws myself. So he said he fired me. And lo and behold, God made the time for me to go home and make music.
Amazing.
The biggest return is when you get to experience the lives changed on the road. When you hear stories of people that chose not to commit suicide or chose to leave addiction behind or chose to exit a abusive relationship because they heard some inspiration in your lyrics and the way that you persevered or, conquered a battle that was going on in your life. And they took that and they used it for their own good. Like, that's where the payoff is. And that's what my wife understands that part. And that's what she wants to see. And she's hoping that at the end of the day, it pays the bills too. Let's be honest.
Now, a moment ago, you were speaking about country music. There isn't even a hint of that in Blood of Lions. So was hard rock the natural choice?
You know, it was, and for different reasons than most would think. So for me, country, Motown, oldies, classic rock was kind of what I was raised on. That's what I listened to with my family. It's what my parents listened to. My friends, through growing up in Southern California, we got into NWA and rap when it came out, Snoop Dogg, Tupac, all the local California stuff. And then at, I believe it was like 10 or 11 years old, one of my cousins went with me and ended up picking up a Nirvana and a Stone Temple Pilots album and gave them to me. And the first one I put in was Core by Stone Temple Pilots, because I had heard the name Nirvana before, but I'd never heard of Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And the second that I heard Scott Weiland's voice kick in on Dead and Bloated, the opening track, I went, ooh, what is this? And then the drums kicked in and the guitars came after that. And I was like, my life has changed forever. How do I get this feeling again? And it, for me, growing up in a household that had a lot of fighting and animosity, had a lot of turmoil in it, you know, a lot of people that didn't deal with their crap and were expelling it on others. You know, I watched, you know, one of my uncle's heads get bounced off the concrete by my dad one night. You know, it was like these were family fights that just went on over things that could have been resolved in an adult manner. But there was a lot of trauma involved in every single person in our family. And us kids had to watch that. And so for me, rock music became an escape and became a safe place. It became a place where all those emotions of not understanding what I was witnessing sometimes as a young kid with the violence or the chaos that I felt around it, you know, being a kid, that's where rock kind of allowed me to openly feel and express that. And it said it in ways that I wanted to, but I couldn't speak it at that age. And so I just found peace in it because it was organized chaos. It was chaos like my house, but it was organized and it came out in a beautiful way, not a destructive way. So that's kind of where rock took over, and that was the safe place. And I wanted more of that.
Well, talking about releasing, the Blood of Lions bio claims that your songwriting was a therapeutic outlet, meaning that these songs are coming from your own personal experiences.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Therapeutic in the way that sometimes reliving the experience and being able to talk about it in my lyrics and move through it with energy and not be judged for that energy I'm moving through it with is very therapeutic. You know, when we experience something that hurt us or harmed us, i.e. abuse of any sort, whether that be, you know, mental, emotional, verbal, sexual, physical, all of the abuses that we can experience, and there's many more, but any of those, we tend to, especially as men, respond in protection of ourselves out of us being hurt with anger or rage in order to protect ourselves and keep people like that away. And so that's what I want to bring through Blood Alliance. I want to unleash those emotions, those demons that I've, you know, kept inside, that I've been working through, the things I've experienced, the ways I was taken advantage of, the hurts, the trauma, all of that. And I want to work through that in music. And I want people to be able to work through theirs through what I've written. I want to give people a tangible example of what they're experiencing and let them know they're not alone. And this whole album that I'm coming out with Blood of Lions is a big F that to that whole belief of you shouldn't tell anybody, you should hold it in, because we got to speak about these things in order to realize that we're not alone, that a lot of people in this world have been hurt, and a lot of people in this world have been hurt. And so I want to be a voice for the voiceless, for the ones that think that they don't have a voice or they shouldn't use that voice to speak up about it. And I want to speak so boldly and so intimately about it that they receive the message. They understand they're not alone. They are inspired and empowered to go out there and take their power back and to heal themselves and to start experiencing joy in life again. I want this music to deliver some sort of healing to people that need that type of help as well, as a partnership to the work they're already doing.
What you just spoke about directly ties into the debut single from Blood of Lions, Built for the Moment, because part of the lyrics go, I will not be held by my shame. I see the future is coming. I will not back down. I'm built for the moment. I will not crumble beneath the weight. You do make that song sound like there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Is there?
You know, I have days where I don't believe there is. And I think that every human being does. And that's a battle that I go through. And sometimes I'm shameful about that because I am a believer and I'm supposed to, you know, based on most people's opinions and even sometimes hearing from the church, you know, I'm supposed to be joyful and happy in my sorrows. And, you know, it's just not the truth. It's not human life. It's not the real experience. You know, you get down, you see the dark side. Sometimes you embrace it and you become it. And I think that's okay as long as you don't stay there. And so this song is really being about being built for the moment of coming out of that. Like the moment isn't the embrace of that dark side. It's really about fighting through that and getting out the other side. And I do believe, to answer your question, there is light at the end of the tunnel in every situation. It is a choice. And I have been on the verge of that choice of wanting to take my own light away, you know, and wanting to end my own life, to be completely vulnerable. And there is a song on this album called Wage War that is about that war that has been waged for my life. The struggle of good and bad, the struggle of should I or shouldn't I, the devil and God, like however you want to see it, you know, you're worthy, you're not worthy, all those things, those messages. But at the end of the day, even, you know, being vulnerable and being very raw, even with a barrel in my mouth, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I can tell you that because I'm here. And it was a choice in that moment to say, is it worth it or should I just sleep it off? Like, if I feel this way tomorrow, I can still make the same choice, right? But if I make this choice now, this is eternal, never ending. I never get it back. And the light is there. We just have to choose to grasp.
Absolutely. You and I need to get into some details about Blood of Lions, because the band can't be just you, Jonathan. Who else is involved?
Awesome question. So this project did start as a just me project, to be completely honest. I went to Texas and recorded with Corey Brenneman, a producer that's done some great work with guys like Johnny Craig and Nothing More. I heard some of the stuff he was doing recently and I went, hey, that's a guy I want to work with. He heard some stuff that I did, those first three songs that my wife pushed me to write. And he said he wanted to work with me. So I told him, dude, reality is I'm good at writing, but I can't play to save my life. I can strum an acoustic guitar. I can write some stuff, but you're not going to get me to play the riffs that I want to play. So I believe in your writing. I know you do collabs. Would you want to write this album with me and formulate the sound of Blood of Lions and make sure that we get this right? I have this vision. I have this sonic delivery that I want for this. I want it to be energetic. I want it to be touching. I want it to be charismatic. I want it to be cinematic. I want it to be emotional. I want you to feel every single moment and I want it to take you on a ride every song. So can you do it? And he said, yes, let's make it happen. So we went down there and we wrote those first three songs in 5 days from scratch with nothing. When we went in that studio, recorded them from front to back, and then he mixed and mastered them within the next couple weeks. And one of my longtime friends, Joel, who is a fantastic guitar player, played in many bands, Crimson Red. He's currently in a band called Mind Incision that's been on quite a few tours. They were just touring Europe and the United States with El Nino and Mushroom Head. Very talented guy. And he messaged me and goes, what are you doing? You have not recorded music in like 10 years. I said, nothing, dude. I can't tell you. I don't want to talk about it. And I'm not going to let anybody hear the music. It's just for me. He said, come on, just show me something. Like, a bunch of us have been dying to hear what's going on. You know, there was a few people that reached out. He was one of them. And I trusted him because he's a fellow musician and somebody that I've always dreamed of working with as a friend. So I sent him Built for the Moment. Within 5 minutes, he called me. Him and his wife are on the phone and they're like, how do I become a part of it? And I was like, well, that's kind of funny because I didn't want to cherry pick you from the band you're in. He's playing bass for Mind Incision. I really was kind of hoping that you were open to the idea of being my guitar player. I know that's your passion is guitar. Would you want to do this with me? And it was a yes. And so he's been in since then. And he was touring and he just so happened to tour with a band that Dan Johnson was drumming with. And Dan Johnson is the former drummer of Red and Love and Death. He was with both of them for almost a decade. Just a stellar, stellar talent and a professional through and through and a strong believer. I mean, this isn't necessarily a Christian band, but I want to protect this. I want professionals. I want guys that are family-minded. I want guys that have a moral ground. I want guys that want to go out and make a difference in the world. I don't want guys in this band that want to go out and party. We're going to party when we have successes of saving people's lives, or we're going to party when we had a fan come up and say, "You changed my life. This is who I used to be. This is who I am now. And because of your music, this is who I'll be forever. I'm going to keep promoting you guys." That's a win to me. That's a victory. I want to use music as a vessel, as a vehicle to deliver a message of hope and a message of tenacity and survival and victory, because we all have the spirit of fight in us. And sometimes we have to fight in life to get through these obstacles and make the best of it.
Fighting in life. Is that why you chose the band name Blood of Lions?
Oh man, it's one of the biggest ones. I wanted something that gave people that sense of conquering what they're facing. And I listened to my demo when I got back over and over and over again. And I just cranked the tunes on repeat. And I wrote down 25 names, things that just really felt right. And Blood of Lions was kind of a play on something that was a joke at first. Charlie Sheen did an interview about 14, 15 years ago where he brought up, you have tiger's blood running through my veins. You know, he's going crazy on drugs. And I turned to my bandmates at the time and I said, "Hey, I'm a Leo. I have lion's blood running through my veins." So it was always a joke. You know, if we were at a show and getting a little rowdy and stuff, I'd be like, "Oh, the lion's blood's running through my veins." You know, I'd always joke about it. So that kind of like stuck in the back of my head as a cool band name down the road. You know, didn't think anything of it. That was 14 years ago. I was in the band that I thought was going to make it. So fast forward, and I wrote down Lion's Blood. And I prayed on this, and I listened to the songs over and over again for 2 hours. And I looked at each of these names, and I couldn't stop looking at Lion's Blood. And I rewrote it as Blood of Lions. It literally just kept hitting. I kept hearing a lion roar as I was listening to my music. And I'm like, this is so crazy. It feels like a lion is roaring and about to just conquer the jungle. And that's what I wanted. That's the energy I wanted to deliver in a name. Blood of Lions couldn't just be the energy behind it. There had to be more significance to it. And yes, I'm a Leo. Yes, my daughter is a Leo who I dreamed of having, which was a Leo girl. So God gave me that delivery. That's cool too. But the reality is we all have the blood of royalty running through us because we are the kings and queens of this crazy jungle we are living in called life. And like I said, it's all perspective and choice. And so we have a choice to take back power in our lives and to own that power in our life and to be the healthy version of ourselves, or to give that power away and be an unhealthy version of ourselves. Also being a believer, blood of the one true king, the lion up there, my God. Blood of lions is also blood of the lions that we take the life of, those demons that we have to face and slay, you know, those dark parts of us and those dark things that we've been through in life.
There's something else about lions is that they're also lazy. They sleep up to 20 hours a day. You know, it's kind of like us guys taking afternoon naps.
Yeah, I love that. Not going to lie, you know, as I'm getting older, I like a nap or two, especially after 3 kids and a wife all day, you know. Baby, I love you. You are not the problem.
Well, here's another impactful one. Your latest single, Empire's Beauty in the Ashes. Now, the lyrics I checked into, and of course, they're inspired by Isaiah 61:3. Leave the past behind for future sites of their foundation. Ruins crumble and decay as we let go of control and offer up the pain. I can see there's beauty in the ashes, so let it burn. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I really do struggle with the whole idea of growth from ashes. I suppose I like life being easy, but is that not important to you?
You know, it's something that I have come to embrace in the fact that the struggle is the only place where growth comes from. If you look at it scientifically, spiritually, metaphorically, theologically, psychologically, growth comes from challenge and from things being hard. When it's easy, things do decay. And sometimes we have to put ourselves through that fire and that burning away of something in order to give the ground a new foundation or a new fertile soil to grow from. I mean, even when you look at forests and the trees burn down, there is beautiful growth that sprouts out even while the ground is still burned. And so as destructive as burning something away, or as, you know, the struggles or the uneasiness of life can be, it's necessity. If you think about trees' roots only grow deeper when the wind blows against them and when the winter comes, because they have to, or else they are going to get blown over and die. Mm-hmm. They need that trial and that, you know, pressing against that challenge in order to grow deeper roots and to become stronger and strengthen themselves. You know, it's just been this constant reminder in my life that when that struggle comes, like, there's got to be some sort of growth, or there's going to be some sort of gold nugget that I have here. And so I wanted people to know that, like, your life might be burning to the ground. You might look around and literally just see flames and you don't know what to do. Be steady. It's going to be okay. I've had to choose in life that when it gets hard and when it burns me, there's refinement in it. There's growth in it. There's wisdom in it. And I might not know it at the time, and I might not know it days later. I might not even know it months later. But when that delivery comes, it is worth every single ounce of that suffering I went through and that pain I went through and that struggle I went through.
Earlier, you mentioned that there's going to be an album coming. How about some details?
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely an album that has been recorded and coming. You have the first two songs off of that album. We will be releasing a song every 6 weeks, which is the plan. But we've been stalled because we've been in talks with a few companies that would take our career to the next level. Let's just say that God is good, and within a year, he's put me right back where I was when I left off with Novus Folium. We're really in a good spot, and we're trying to make one of these deals work. And then we will be releasing and launching our third single, releasing a single every 6 weeks until the completion of the 9th, possibly 10th single. There is a possibility of a collaboration in the works. That would be the last and final song that we would put on this album, if not, is going to stick at that 9 songs. I want to release this music so bad on everybody right now. I just really want to see what people think. And not because I'm arrogant about it. I just want to see if what I feel from what I wrote is what is received. That's the goal always, I think, as an artist. You want to put out a no-skip album. Mm-hmm. When I listen to this, every single song has such a deep story behind it and such an impact with the way it's delivered. I'm just excited to see what people's responses are.
And that's what makes life exciting.
Yes, sir.
Jonathan, I got to thank you for coming on to The Antidote and for a chance to hear about Blood of Lions.
Well, Dave, it was a pleasure. It's an honor, my friend. Thank you so much for being a great asker of questions. Thank you for the life and history that you have lived and the wisdom it brings to conversations like this. I think it takes one of wisdom to have deep intellectual conversations, and I'm just truly grateful when I get to have one myself. So thank you for being one of those guys, Dave.
Oh, my head is swelling now. Stop this.
Well, thank you for lending me your time too, because, you know, again, this could be a meh experience for some people, but when you get to have conversations like this because you created something and somebody just wants to talk to you about your creation, that's pretty special too. So thanks, Dave.